This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Top of the news this evening is speculation concerning the real facts behind a Department of Health announcement about a radioactive spill supposed to have occurred yesterday at the state nuclear plant.
I know what you're thinking. Mine's bigger than yours, right? Isn't that fair? Throw it away. All right? All right!
They're coming! The rats are coming! Thousands of them!
Tell me about Disneyland.
They got tons of popcorn there.
Yeah.
And all you gotta do is go climb a tree to go eat it.
It was a night like any other night. Then something happened.
Oh, good Lord! It's unbelievable. It's horrible.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
The sleep of reason gives birth to monsters.
Hi, my name's Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, post-apocalyptic wasteland, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1960s to today. Check us out at reallyawfulmovies.com, part of the Crypt TV family. Downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 93, Skin Traffic. What we got here is a
failure to make a good movie.
Failure to launch, yeah. What we have here is a human trafficking story, action caper, espionage flick, featuring the one, the only, Mickey Rourke, along with B-movie icons Michael Madsen and Eric Roberts, and anything with Eric Roberts immediately tips you off that it's going to be something that Cannes will shortlist in the upcoming year. This thing, my God, we had the pleasure of having this recommended to us by one of our Twitter followers, so Dennis,
mm-hmm.
And he said when we released our list of the top 10 awful movies by genre, he said, "Well, there's been an oversight. You have to check out Skin Traffic." And we thought, okay, you know, we're maybe a little bit jaded here. We've seen our fair share of awful films, and we thought, okay, we'll get around to it eventually because, you know, whenever we get a recommendation, we usually do check it out. And boy, did this thing deliver! This is incomprehensible, just dreck.
Right. Well, I mean, the reality is that, I mean, this is a movie released in 2015 that boasts the star power of Gary Daniels. Okay, who is Gary Daniels?
English kickboxing champ extraordinaire.
Really?
Went tete-a-tete with Stone Cold Steve Austin in Hunt to Kill.
Mm-hmm.
Stuntman.
Okay.
As far as an actor goes, he's noted ex-English kickboxer and stuntman. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be performing Macbeth anytime soon. Okay. You know.
Okay, fair enough. Well, then we got Mickey Rourke, Eric Roberts, Daryl Hannah, Michael Madsen, and Jeff Fahey. Now, these were all, at one point, names. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like they would be starters for our softball team of, B-movie All-Stars.
Well, now, but I mean, the fact of the matter is, I mean, there was one time, I mean, Mickey Rourke, let's just start with Mickey Rourke, okay? The reality is that this is an actor, when he first burst onto the scene, he was like a supernova. I mean, the guy was lauded as being like the next Brando. He was a good-looking guy. He had charisma to spare. He was incredible. The guy was in Pope of Greenwich Village, incidentally, with both Eric Roberts and Daryl Hannah. The guy was in Angel Heart, which is a great horror flick. The guy was in even movies that, like, you know, Johnny Handsome was a pretty cool flick he was in. But then, 9 1/2 weeks, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, Barfly.
You know, Barfly, we love Barfly. I mean, the guy was super talented. And then he went off the rails. And he became a professional boxer.
Yeah,
and he also started doing all these, like, straight-to-video erotic movies with his then-wife. I can't remember her name. But, I mean, he became a boxer. And he took a lot of hits to the face, which were evident in both his appearance and his career choices.
Yes, very
because
true.
He was doing some really, really fucked up stuff. Yeah. And then, so he was written off. Now, in life, it's rare to get a second chance. In Hollywood, it's even rarer to get a second chance. Mickey Rourke received that elusive second chance. He was given, in my opinion, the role of a lifetime in one of my absolute favorite movies, Darren Aronofsky's The Wrestler. I saw this movie, I was invited to a sneak preview, and I saw it before it was released. And I went by myself, and I sat there and watched this movie where Mickey Rourke was playing Randy the Ram Robinson, I believe is his character.
Mm-hmm.
And I was absolutely stunned. When those final credits rolled, I was crying, okay? I thought to myself, first of all, what an amazing movie. Second of all, what a career resurrection. I mean, this was a performance that was nuanced. This was a performance that was imbued with sadness, pathos, sympathy, everything. I mean, it was, Mickey Rourke was back. He was like, this is Lazarus, you know, rising from the grave.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, I mean, we now have Mickey Rourke back. Sure, he doesn't look like, you know, anywhere near a human being as he used to look. He looks a little, I don't want to say, Rocky Dennis from Mask, you know? He was looking a little off, but I mean, it fit the role of the wrestler, and I was like, okay, Mickey Rourke is back. And then he took that second chance, and he flushed it down the toilet like so many bowel movements.
Yeah.
Because now he's appearing in this piece of shit movie, Skin Traffic, and when we saw him in this movie, and he was in the first couple scenes, this dude, I mean, his face looked like one gigantic tumor.
Yeah.
And it was awful, okay? And he's sitting there, absolutely incomprehensible. I can't understand a word he's saying, and he's eating something. And for about, he's only in it for, like, you know, two or three scenes, but there was a little dab of food. I don't know what it was, some ice cream or something.
Yeah, even that stood out amidst his, like, you know, foundation-laden visage, because his face looked like Play-Doh and overwrought with foundation. And we were looking at the corner of his mouth going, what is that? Someone wiped that, like, cookie out of his mouth or whatever. It was
And he had this ridiculous pomper, and he reminded me, I don't know if you watched Pawn Stars.
Yeah.
The old man on Pawn Stars. Okay? That was sad. Then we have Michael Madsen. Okay, Michael Madsen, I mean, the guy is always, he's skirted, you know, between B-movie purgatory and, like, right, he's back on the big screen in Hateful Eight.
Hateful Eight,
I mean, you know, Tarantino. He seems to keep pulling him back. Every time we think he's back, you know?
Yeah.
But then we got Daryl Hannah. Now, Daryl Hannah, I mean, she never reached, you know, the heights of superstar, but
She's starting to look more like a Daryl than a Hannah, I would say, at this point.
Well, yeah, exactly. Oh, this was a woman who, goddamn, she was
Splash. Whoa, yeah.
She was gorgeous. Mm-hmm. She was beautiful. She still has the same hairstyle that she did then.
Yeah.
But, as you said, as we're watching this film, she's resembling the
Crypt Keeper.
Like, you know?
Yeah, but yeah, a little bit.
I mean,
a little Iggy Pop-esque.
Good on Daryl Hannah for aging gracefully and not going the Meg Ryan route, but yeah, she's starting to resemble Iggy Pop, you know? Then we've got Jeff Fahey. I mean, Jeff Fahey, I guess he's best known for The Lawnmower Man. He was also Machete. He actually looked pretty good. He acted pretty good, well. But I mean, again, like, what were they doing in this film? Because, like, this movie, The plot is incomprehensible. Mm. It's completely...
Just off the charts. Just ridiculous. From what we can gather, again, we have scant notes. We're trying to make the best out of this thing. It's almost like we're detectives trying to reenact some sort of crime, mm-hmm. which this was, in a way, against cinema. We have Bradley, Gary Daniels, who's looking for a disc, and he's trying to shake down Mickey Rourke's character. Mm-hmm. What's on this disc? We don't know.
Well, it's always in what we know from watching crime espionage movies. It's always a disc.
A disc.
It's always
yeah.
a very nebulous disc. Whether it's a floppy disc, we go 10 years prior, and it's a CD.
Yeah.
Or it's a stick.
Yeah.
It's a stick, there's a disc. There's always something on these fucking discs.
Yeah.
So he needs to get this disc, and this entails shaking out Rourke, and then in the process, as he's trying to make his escape, he kills poor Mickey Rourke's pregnant daughter.
Yes.
So, Gary Daniels, Bradley, this is the man that gets results. This is like the hitman extraordinaire. He now...
Except, yeah. Killing, pregnant daughters.
Well, there you
yeah,
go.
But yeah, for the most part, sure.
But because of that mistake.
Yeah, now he's haunted.
He's in seclusion. He's haunted. He's basically living in some sort of like London... ghetto as the back of the
DVD card
says, but it looks like it was
filmed in Manchester, but it looks like Coronation Street. Mm. So if this is how ghettos look in London, well, that is just good for you.
Yeah,
and he's
happy just getting his Chinese takeout.
Yes, yeah. There's some scene where he's getting some sort of chicken fried rice from this takeout, and these two. Jamaican English gangster types ransack the store, give the proprietor a knee to the groin, and he just sort of sits there on the sidelines.
Yeah.
And you think, this guy's an action star. He could just take these two guys out. But all he does is sit there.
In what world is he an action star? he's a star of this film, but he's not an action star.
He's a kickboxing
star.
Well,
I mean, first of all, we got to have this Chinese restaurant. I mean, this restaurant was the most sparsely decorated Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
They went into a room with, like, red walls and said, okay, this will be our Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, well, and here's a counter, it's ergo a restaurant.
Yeah, the proprietor, he goes, I don't, forgive me for my... horrifically racist accent. I don't know what happened. Used to be very safe neighborhood.
Yeah.
Now, trouble every day. And, here's your fried rice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And despite getting a knee to the groin, this order is up. And you would think that would add an extra half hour or an hour to your order. But no, this guy's beat down. He's running a very great business because this guy gets his food despite... Mm-hmm. This robbery or attempted beatdown.
Right. So then Bradley goes out and he wants to go to his apartment and eat his, MSG laden.
fried rice, yeah.
But he can't because his way is blocked by these Russian, and we say that in air quotes, these Russian pimps who are operating some sort of bordello right there in the mean streets of London. Full with Russian hookers. And yet again, when I say Russia, I mean, this is, at this point, you said to me, this is Eastern Promises
for retards.
It's honestly, it's just completely ridiculous. And they're like, hey, well, now you gotta do your Russian accent, Chris.
Now I'm put on the spot. Yeah. You, I am Sergei, I am Russian pimp, I am man who omits articles from sentences. Yeah, because I am man who replaces W's with V's because I am Russian. Yeah, just god awful, like awful, awful accents.
Because every time an actor in a movie tries to put on some fake Russian accent, they always have to omit the fucking article, so it's like, I am pimp and you are on my street and why.
I am in crap movie. I am make scale in crap movie.
Anyway, to make a long and very convoluted story short, Daniels finally is pushed to the limit,
Yeah, and he has to do battle with these pimps, and he takes out a bunch of the pimps' henchmen and manages to save this blonde Russian hooker from her confines in this ghetto. Bordello cat house.
Yeah, and this is Anna. I can't stay here with police coming. You got to save me. And I got Sister Jessica, you got to save as well.
Yeah, and this you know, this massage parlor slash bordello, there, the Sergey, the Russian pimp, has been surreptitiously filming both the Johns and the hookers, and obviously treating his women as chattel, and obviously Anna wants to get herself out of this, and her sister has also been sold into white slavery, so she convinces this do-gooder Bradley to help
her.
Well,
now he's a do-gooder because, I mean, he's trying to make amends. Yeah, make amends for his criminal past. So, you know, when he's absconding with Anna, he calls whom he thinks is, you know, one of his allies, and this is the guy, played by Eric Roberts. Now, you know that you're in Academy Award territory when you've got Eric Roberts in a film. You know, I was saying to you as we're watching, I'm like, can you just imagine, like, Thanksgiving dinner at the Roberts household? You got Julia sitting there at the table, and she's like, so, Julia, what's up? Oh, I just made this film with, directed by Steven Spielberg. Double Oscar and Tom Hanks is in it. Yeah, probably cleared by 100 mil at the box office. How about you, Eric?
Well, I drove across the border from Seattle to Vancouver, and I'm making a scale to film some piece of shit in Vancouver. Things are going great.
Yeah, exactly. And then when that's done, I'm going to go back to Vancouver and film some other...
Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal. So, I mean, like,
that we've probably watched. But...
Exactly. Unbelievable. How the Mighty Have Fallen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And there's a subplot with American gangsters in London, and... there's Michael Madsen, the insane Michael Madsen, and his partner, Daryl Hannah, and they're involved in some sort of sex trade operation.
With everybody. I mean, that's the whole thing, is that everybody we meet is involved in this nefarious...
Human trafficking sex ring.
And they're known as they're basically a collective known as the executive. Mm-hmm. So everybody's involved in everybody else. They're like, oh, there's this man out there. He's this loose cannon. He's so good. Where did he learn these skills from? Like, he's like, you know, Jason Bourne or something, right? And, you know, again, it's like, it's just non sequitur after non sequitur. Yeah. You know, throwing in these fucking, you know, faded A-list actors, and they're just talking nonsense and exposition.
Yeah, about this, like, Bohemian Grove type, behind-the-scenes sort of weird, executive types who are part of some sort of secret society. Now, to infiltrate this, our hero Bradley, kickboxer.
You have to rescue sister, Jessica. Yeah.
And they both had an agent, and this guy's name was Paul Hamilton. He's a talent agent on the surface anyway, but his real talent seems to be...
You're talking about Jessica and Anna.
Yeah, their agent was Paul Hamilton, and he's a talent agent, and his talent is not so much casting women in films, but he's sort of a conduit for getting women into the sex trade, and he, as you said, looks like a sort of low-rent
Jack Palance
crossed with, Jiminy Glick, and this guy...
whose teeth are yellower than the brightest sunrise you've ever seen.
And Bradley goes in and says, you know, like, asks him where this Russian model in quotes, where she's been. And he says, oh, I have no idea. I have the whereabouts of some, as he puts it, some fucking slapper. He has no clue. Meanwhile, Bradley wants to make him talk. He won't talk. Grabs him by the tie, very unconvincingly asphyxiates him, and just leaves him for dead, which he is. And then upon his exit, he says to the secretary...
The way he got in was saying that me and Paul, it's Paul Hamilton, right?
Yeah, we were old friends.
We're old friends. Oh, so how was your reunion? Oh, he was pretty good. He actually got a little bit choked up.
But him,
yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. John McClane, you are not Bradley.
No. And so, again, we have this guy who's off the grid, on the lam, making enemies, trying to save Russian hookers from white slavery rings.
Like you're writing like the new theme from Shaft.
Yeah,
he's on the lam. He's off the grid, making enemies.
Yeah,
Bradley. What's his name?
Yeah,
Bradley.
Yeah, don't even know his first name.
Shut your mouth. I'm talking about Bradley.
Yeah, and along the way, the body count obviously goes through the stratosphere. Bradley is probably ex-special forces. He knows his way around weapons. He's a kickboxer. He beats the shit out of lots of henchmen.
He knows how to make the CGI blood fly.
Yes. Yeah, and through Paul Hamilton, the agent, he finds out that the white slave sex ring ran through the Canal City of Amsterdam, Holland.
Yep.
He ends up going up there.
And there's some sort reasons. Of like this clandestine Eyes Wide Shut-esque secret society where all these well-to-do politicians and
Bohemian Grove kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're all involved in some sort of sex ring, and he infiltrates it.
Mm-hmm. And he's looking for Jessica. Now, we got to say that Anna...
Jessica Peel, which is, it doesn't get more Russian than that.
Oh, exactly. Anna Peel, a great Russian name.
Yeah.
She got a bullet into her head.
Yeah.
We don't know why. I don't even know why.
Don't know.
But this is a man that will see his mission to the end. The one thing I give, you got to give credit to Bradley. I mean, this man, he will not give up.
No.
So, okay.
He maybe should have, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, reading the script, yeah. But
exactly,
He takes any job that comes his way.
So, he ends up basically killing every high-powered executive, politician, what have you, in this clandestine, Eyes Wide Shut-esque, sexual, Caligula-esque orgy. And then he was like, where's Jessica? Oh, Jessica's been sold. She's been taken away. Which brings us...
to Jeff Fahey.
Jeff Fahey, another faded star. Who actually acquitted himself pretty well in this one, I gotta say.
Eyebrows notwithstanding, these giant, giant brows that should have been trimmed.
Mm.
But yeah, he's... of course, he doesn't know her whereabouts, but he was the last guy to hire this Russian hooker.
Mm-hmm.
And he, is...
he's actually on the level.
Yeah, and he's pleading for his life, saying, listen, I know you've killed before, but I can help you. Mm-hmm. I can get you in touch with the executive.
Yeah. And he said, the whole thing is, you were a pawn in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you've been doing everything they wanted you to do.
Yeah,
up to this
machinations
point.
Are afoot. And,
yes.
And the executive is pulling the strings behind the scene.
Yes, and of course, and the executive is Eric Roberts.
Yeah. Such as it is, yeah.
Yeah. Which leads us to the ultimate showdown, which is Bradley versus Roberts. I don't even know his name in this movie.
No, I have no idea. He probably doesn't even have one. And whatever, his 10 henchmen.
Mm-hmm.
And the obligatory warehouse shootout. And Bradley takes out all of his men. And so you're left with this mano a mano with the disc. The aforementioned disc, which is in the possession of Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
And... the man who wants the disc, which is whoever this Eric Roberts executive, the executive of the executive, if you will. And they are left in this tepid sort of John Woo, guns drawn, pistols
Mexican
at dawn,
standoff,
sort of shitty standoff.
Yeah, exactly.
Each pointing their,
respective piece at each
other. Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, God. But I guess...
and it's interesting I say the respective piece because... that sounds a little homoerotic, right? Mm. But honestly, like, the mess on scene in this movie is, like, early 90s,
Vivid video, shitty porn.
It's just awful, man.
Yeah, you would never guess that they visited two continents, three different cities to film this fucking turd. So they're left, in this showdown, mano-mano showdown, pointing a gun at each other's faces. Who's going to balk first? Seemingly, it would be Bradley because he's been wounded in the shoulder.
But well, wait, are you going to spoil this movie for our listeners? I mean, come on, dude.
Okay, maybe not. Yeah. They're invested.
They need to see Steve Travis.
Yeah,
no,
all
right. The reality is, we are doing you guys a favor by spoiling this movie. Stay as clear away from Steve Travis as you possibly can.
Mm.
As this is like...
Register a foreign passport and fly to another locale
this
as
is
far
the,
away from...
This is like an eclipse. What I mean?
This is the kryptonite of bad movie.
You do not want to look at this thing for danger of going blind. So,
this is true.
It ends up with a mano a mano. Bradley blows half of Eric Roberts' head off. Again, very unconvincing CGI. It's over. It's done with. We see a bunch of faded actors who have just completely embarrassed themselves. At the end of the day, this was a depressing experience.
I have to admit.
Yeah.
I was thoroughly depressed. And we have to, of course, get to the segment about what we've learned.
Okay.
Here.
Well, I mean, one of the things I learned is, you did mention that Daryl Hannah is resembling Iggy Pop, right? So,
indeed.
That's one thing I learned. The other thing I learned is that in 2015, there's still a question as to whether or not certain people
have access to the net.
Have access to the internet.
Okay, so you've stolen what I've learned.
Yeah, that was the line of the movie.
Yeah, because when they were, I guess, involved in this cat and mouse back and forth about who can trust whom, and this whole convoluted discussion about, oh, I'm going to open the door for you and you can come in, but then I will open the door and you can come in. I need proof. How will I know you won't double cross me?
How will I know?
How will I know if she really loves me? And the only reason they can tell is this guy has, I guess, a video of the hookers and being alive, so he can say, okay, you bring me the disc, I'll release the hookers. So he says, with this interrogative,
with some gravitas, yeah.
Do you have access to the net? And the answer would be in the affirmative. And he sends him the video of the hookers, and he says, okay, great. He has access to the net, and they can confirm their...
Is this what everybody in this planet has access to the net in their fucking pocket?
In 2015,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what I learned, is that, you know... For some people, that's still a question.
Yeah.
That's still like your main question to ask. Do you have access to the net?
The net,
Who the fuck calls it the net?
Well, it could have been worse.
I mean, that was a bad Sandra Bullock movie, for God's sakes.
True enough. It could have been the information superhighway.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Do you have access to America Online? So you've got mail.
So this thing was not so super. Star rating.
Hey, what did you learn, man?
Oh, I learned the exact same thing. You stole what I learned from...
You must have learned something else, because I'm not going to leave off this easily.
Okay, I learned that if we get recommendations from Twitter followers, we immediately have to follow them, because they've never led us astray. Mm-hmm. Our buddies in the UK tipped us off to the genius, and I don't use the term lightly, to Neil Breen, who is an auteur...
Unparalleled.
Non-pareil. This guy is a fucking genius, so we will take... these recommendations to heart.
Yes.
Star rating. Oh. I will, for the kickboxing and the ass beatdowns, some good fight scenes, I will give this one a 1. Otherwise, it would have been a half for me. Mm-hmm. But again, Gary Daniels is a little bit long in the tooth. Eric Roberts is literally long in the tooth, because, man, that guy has some giant, giant choppers. But Gary Daniels acquits himself very well in the fight scenes, putting this into the... one territory versus the half, but I'll give this a solid 1.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like I said before, I mean, The Wrestler is a movie that's very near and dear to my heart. I still love that movie, and the movie was wonderful for me for 2 reasons. Number one, because it was an incredible story of the human condition, set against the backdrop of one of our favorite sports, professional wrestling, as well as the resurrection of a true talent. And then to see that same man...
Yeah, debasing himself in this. It's almost like akin to John Travolta, whose career was revived, obviously, by Tarantino.
Mm-hmm.
And then now doing some piece of schlock made-for-TV OJ movie.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, wearing this terrible rug, like as if his own rugs aren't bad enough, you know, playing the lawyer. Yeah, this is just awful.
So that to me just depressed the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say, the reality is this movie is a piece of shit. So I'm going to give it a 0.5 star.
I mean,
I really can't give it any more than that.
No.
Is it a good, bad movie?
No.
No, it's a bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
Bad
accents, bad locales, bad set pieces,
bad cinematography,
bad dialogue,
bad acting.
There was one point, again, I wrote this down. Michael Madsen does this spiel about how his grandfather fought in the trenches in World War II. And he starts talking about how the SS had this unit of soldiers called Crazy Hats, and this scene is going on and on, and we're just wondering what is the point of this thing as they're sitting in some ridiculous bar, and Daryl Hannah is swilling some sort of, you know, third rate, you know, like bourbon. And just going, what is going on? But yeah, 1 star for me, 0.5 for you. We'll give this thing 3/4.
I was going to say, to quote another fair film of mine, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, why? What's the significance? I don't know.
I don't know, yeah. But what you will know is that our website, www.reallyawfulmovies.com, is a great source for exploitation, horror, action film reviews, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We got great lists, too. Be sure and follow us on Twitter, and for sure, send us your suggestions.
I was going to say, we're masochistic, so keep on saying them to us.
Yeah, anything with Eric Roberts, anything
with... No, not anything with Eric Roberts, honestly. I've seen enough of that man in the last year. God, the worst movie of the year was The Human Centipede 3 that he was in. I don't want to... Forget about it. But, you know, just...
Yeah, just keep them coming.
And for all you know, we may podcast your best
suggestions,
movie.
Yes.
So,
it'd
yeah.
be fantastic. And we'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Thank you.